Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum, to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. This is Macca. Here's Tass.
Our next guest is Ian Yates.
We've actually just lost the call.
Oh, dear me.
We'll just get it back.
Our next guest is Ian Yates, who's the Chief Executive of the Council of the Aging. And as I understand it, Macca, COTA, as they like to be called, is in fact an organisation that represents older people, and older people here are defined that those people who are 50 plus. Good morning. Do we have you on the phone now, Ian?
I'm here.
Great to have you on the airwaves. My name's Tass, and my co-host, of course, is Macca. Clearly you are, we are all in this sort of, swimming around in this very difficult environment of trying to find our way through this global pandemic of COVID-19. What are older people telling you about their concerns in relation to COVID-19, Ian?
One of the things that we always start in talking about older people is to say older people diverse. And, you know, we suffer in our society still from a significant amount of ageism, and one feature of that is to regard older people as basically all the same. So older people are very, very diverse, and that means that their experience of COVID-19 is also diverse. So we certainly have older people who are very, very concerned, very isolated, and having significant physical and mental effects from COVID. I mean, people living in the community who've been confused about what they should be doing and to some degree anxious and frightened. And one of the things that we've seen, that we've known about and drawn attention to for a long time, but we've seen in pretty stark reality, particularly during, for most of the country during that first wave of lockdown, and of course in Victoria, what we've seen is the digital divide, the people who are not connected into the internet, into social media, and that means that they actually don't get a whole lot of information that other people are referred to. So that's one of the things we've seen. On the other hand, we see...
You're quite right about the latter point. I mean, I have elderly parents in their 90s, and every now and then I call an authority and try to get information for them, and they say, oh, just go on the website. Well, I'm sorry, my parents actually don't know how to actually use the website. I have bought them an iPad as a way of trying to connect and try to allow them to sort of just explore it and explore what an internet looks like and how it works. But really, they're not computer literate.
This is true. And many older people they might use an iPad, for example, to keep in touch with their children and grandchildren. But that doesn't mean that they're going to become, web savvy, and often have genuine fears and concerns. I mean, it's no surprise that older people tend to be the largest victims of scams in the net, and which is something that we also work on closely with the Australian Competition Consumer Commission. But I mean, a really positive story and experience of this period has been the number of old people, including very old people, who have become at least to some degree web savvy out of necessity. We often thought, well, many people thought, I certainly didn't, but that older people weren't up to becoming web savvy. But in fact, if you've lived all your life without needing it, there is a view that says, well, why would I bother? except that increasingly, as you say, you can't find out anything about what's going on except go visit the website.
I am familiar with a piece of research that shows that social connectivity levels increased amongst a group of older Australians who learnt how to use simple things like Skype or FaceTime or Zoom or one of those platforms. They were able to connect with their grandchildren and each other and relatives overseas, and that's been a fabulous benefit for people who've been able to learn how to use those. I know that my partner's mother FaceTimes us every night, sometimes two or three times a night, and it works for her, but I just can't get my parents to learn how to use it. I've taken them through it. I guide them through it with a telephone, and we still cannot make it work. But look, you know, that's a positive story. There are also some really grim stories out there at the moment, and we are hearing that the biggest impact is borne by older people of COVID-19 at the moment. What stories are you hearing around this?
Oh, absolutely. And if we move away from the community, where I must say I've given you kind of the negative impact, there's also a lot of reaction of positive impact, because many older people are more used than younger people to living a fair bit of their life by themselves, and therefore don't always find imposed isolation as threatening. If they are connected and know how to function and you know, get food and stay safe. But of course the worst effects at the moment have been seen in some of our nursing homes, which by very definition of course are places that have people who are vulnerable because of age, and age is an indicator of vulnerability to COVID-19, but also because they have a number of other health conditions, which is largely why they're in a nursing home rather than their age, and that means that yes, they are very vulnerable, and many of our vast bulk of our nursing homes have been very well prepared, but it's really hard to stop COVID coming in when it is very widespread in the community, and you can have a staff member who is asymptomatic, has no symptoms at all, works a shift or two and then does develop the symptoms and discover they've been infectious for a period, and that means that, you know, maybe other staff or residents have been affected. But they get on top of that really quickly. Unfortunately, we've had a small minority of homes where it's got away, and that does almost inevitably in that context cause significant death, and that's what we've seen in Melbourne.
So Ian, it's Macca. I actually saw you on I think it was ABC Breakfast during the week, and you were talking excuse me, around this, and you made some comments, and I'll paraphrase, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that there are a number of homes, you know, that are doing a really good job, that are well-resourced, well-run, they have good governance systems, they're on top of COVID, but that a number are not, and that the regulator really needs to lift its game. And you actually made the point that some of these homes that are not doing it right and that have been reviewed in the last little while have had very negative reviews, but there doesn't seem to be a consequence in that they need to lift their game or perhaps leave the industry. You know, do you have a comment on that? Do you want to enlarge on that?
Yeah, sure. Look, one thing we need to say is that the regulator, the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission, doesn't run aged care. It tries to enforce the rules that the federal government puts on aged care homes. Aged care providers run home care, aged care, whether it's in the home or in community or whether it's nursing homes. And the federal government and the people who use the system pay for it. So the regulator, in my view, has done a good job of making sure that providers were aware of what they should be doing to prepare, making sure that they've looked at the guidelines, they've rehearsed the guidelines, tried to. We have close on 3,000 nursing homes around Australia, and the regulator can't be simultaneously in all of them unless we're going to substantially increase the budget of the regulator. But, and you know, is that how we really want to run it anyway? But what and one of what I have called for is for the regulator to have a significant broader toolkit. Mm-hmm. There are penalties, but it's a bit like it's between, okay, here's some things we require you to improve, and they give them a schedule for improvement. If they don't do that, then they kind of, the next step is really banning them out of the industry. And I think the regulator needs the kind of tools that the Australian Competition Consumer Commission and the Australian Securities Investment Commission, ASIC, have, that they can require people to behave in certain ways with penalties, both financial penalties and being able to ban people and those kind of things. And I think we do need a stronger regulator. But we also have a system in this country of allocating aged care beds, which is called the aged care approvals round. That means once you've won the beds, unless you really behave so poorly that you get kicked out of the industry, that you've got them, and you're not exposed to the kind of pressure from consumers that anyone else in any other market is. Mm. And good providers who've got long waiting lists can't expand to meet that need unless they win these beds in this bureaucratic maze called the approvals round. And the poorer providers, once they've got them, hang on to them. And we've been wanting the government to get rid of that system for a long time, so that consumers can hold the money, hold a voucher to go to a nursing home and choose where they want to go.
Look, it sounds quite complex, Ian, but if I can just say, you know, the regulator in Victoria, I think there are 366 homes in Victoria.
There's over 800 in Victoria.
Okay. Well, do you know how many the regulator visited and wrote a report on in the last 12 months?
Not without going and checking, but...
20.
I would be surprised if it's that low, because the regulator visits all homes on an unannounced visit, should visit all homes through the year. There was a period of months here in COVID that they stopped doing unannounced visits because...
Oh, yeah. It's like the health inspector.
Was concerned. Yes.
Just a final comment. I was just going to ask you for a final comment. We've talked about the regulator's role in this, but what about the regulations? The regulations are actually set by government, not by the regulator. Yep. So are they adequate in your view? We've heard a lot about, you know, nurse ratios and staff resident ratios, for example. Are they adequate in your view?
Absolutely not. We were part of an aged care workforce task force that reported to the government back in the middle of 2018 that recommended a whole range of improvements to workforce in aged care in Australia. It's going to cost the taxpayer between $3 and $3.5 billion a year, and then we would have a properly resourced system. We also, I might say, need another couple of $1 billion a year so that we don't have 100,000 waiting lists for home care packages. And that's what's going to come out in the Royal Commission, which reports early next year. And we all have to be prepared to say to government, we've got to pay that extra money, and we're willing to pay it.
Look, it's a very challenging. And look, I'll recheck that figure that I got, Ian. And but look, I'd like to ask you back, you know, in another month or so. I think there's a lot of issues that are unfolding here, and I want to acknowledge the role that your organisation plays. You're not responsible for aged care, right? You know, you have input to it, but you represent older Australians that are an incredibly diverse group of people, and I think you do a great job.
Thank you.
And,
we tried.
You know, I'd love to have you back in about a month's time, and, you know, perhaps have a longer chat, because at the end of the day, I think COTA represents Australians over 50.
Yes.
Well, that's Tass and I.
There's an awful lot of us.
There's a lot of us. So, look, thanks for your...
I'm very happy to come back.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Yeah, lovely, thanks for your advocacy and making the time today. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.